Thanks, Kelsey. Well, good morning. Yes, shalom, shalom. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for your presence, Lord. We don't want to go anywhere without it, but we thank you that that you give it in abundance because it's you, Lord, and you love being with us, and we love being with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, we're in the midst of talking about pastoral leadership in the church. And as part of the pastoral search committee, we really have an overarching theme to it. And that theme is that what Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. So it's not like you guys build the church. It's like he will build it. So we've really, really been seeking him, realizing that what he says to us may be different than what we're used to, and that has been the case, actually. So we're just following him in whatever way he wants to go. So we decided, since it was kind of new to us, and it was a little bit hard to grasp at times just what he was saying, that we would give a series of messages to kind of summarize what he's been saying to us. And so if you were here 3 weeks ago, Daryl discussed the way that Jesus built his church through what Paul said. As he went and talked about every church, and he said he was appointing a team of leaders at every church. So that was really interesting. Last week, I loved that message that Chad brought, how character and heart issues have to be above everything else. And it really pertains to all of us. Whatever leadership we're in, or leading our family, or just being Christians, that eventually character and heart issues affect everything we do. And 2 weeks ago, Tom zeroed in on one heart issue, that is the heart of a shepherd, which again pertains to all of us. And it just struck me in listening to that if Jesus were to speak on this subject and just bear his heart on it, that would be the message that that he would give. Today I'm going to continue this, but what I'm going to bring is tying this into what's called the ministry of all believers. I kind of call it the Second Reformation because there was a theologian that said that he's looking forward to another Reformation after Luther's Reformation. Luther's Reformation brought Scripture into the hands of the people, but he was looking forward to another one where ministry would come into the hands of the people. And it's been said by those who study the growth of the church that if only the professional church leaders did the work of the church, that the church could do barely more than maintain the status quo. So when you talk about the ministry of all believers, it's not just kind of a nicety, but it's a necessity. And so all of us on this committee and many others are seeing that it's essential that the pastoral team that's raised up works in the context of supporting and being part of this ministry of all believers. And it's enabling all of us, really, because there's a purpose for all of our lives. There's an adventure laying ahead of us, and some may not know exactly what that's all about, but God will reveal it in time. And it's towards partnering with Jesus in his ministry. So that's whatever the pastoral team is, they're going to stand behind that and cheer people on and make sure the people are part of this. So back, I think it was late September, I actually spoke on the subject of the Second Reformation, or Ministry of All Believers. And I introduced something that I had seen kind of in the spirit when I was at a conference, and I'm not sure exactly what they were talking about at the time, but I kind of went into this daydream, and what I saw was there was like this V that was moving from the left to the right, kind of like the V of a boat that's moving along, or a V of geese that are flying along. And on this V were all the various gifts and calls and people in the church. So maybe at the very point of the V, you had the leadership, but within the V, you had like teachers of all age groups. You had kind of evangelists on the arm of the V as the V was moving across the world, bringing in the lost. You had like intercessors everywhere. You had pastors as people would cross the line into the church. They would gather them together, make sure that they were shepherded. You have healers everywhere. You have worship going on everywhere. And that was the vision that I saw. But the odd thing about it was as soon as it stopped moving, it disappeared. So it's kind of like when geese stop flying, they kind of go into a kind of a random order on the ground. And when this V stopped moving, it was hard to know what to do with all these various people, and especially their gifts. But once it started moving again, the V formed again, and like everyone had a place. So the point is that there's this variety of gifts and calls, and each has its place. And each one is like vitally needed. And like I say, the ministry of all believers is a necessity. But when you see how everybody is needed when we're in motion like this, it's binding us even closer together. So we could be going along and saying like, we're doing this, but wow, it would be really great if there was like worship involved. And so you kind of call Glenn forward and or Vicky and bringing worship into it. Or let's say you suddenly encounter somebody that has kind of a Jewish background. And so you say, I know Dave Thompson that could come up and talk to this person. So as we see this happening, and we've seen this over and over again, it's binding us together because it's showing us how much we need one another. And in Ephesians 4, starting with verse 11, it starts out talking about the various gifts of the church. And it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." So this variety of gifts. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith." So it's interesting that it's talking about this variety, this diversity of gifts and calls, but it's saying that it results in unity. So diversity produces unity. And one other thing in that verse is it's showing how each gift also has another function, which is to equip people to move in that particular ministry. So if we're talking about like teaching kids, one of the purpose, if you have that call or gift on your life, is that you can teach other people how to do it. Or if your gift is the prophetic, it's to equip the church to so that everyone can hear God better. Back in September, I talked about this in relation to a flock of geese, and it was like maybe a year after I had that picture of the moving V, and this would be like 10, 11, 12 years ago, out came this particular article, and I saw it everywhere. Our bank sent it to me. It was in the newspaper. It was everywhere. And it was talking about these geese flying and how we should take a lesson from geese. And I actually, nobody knew who wrote it, and I finally tracked down who wrote it, and I emailed him just to get permission to use it. And it turns out that he was a Christian who had the very same view of everybody coming into their gifts in the church, which is really, really interesting. So he was saying things like, when they're in a V formation, the whole flock adds 71% greater flying range, which is interesting. And it said, like, when the lead goose tires, it rotates back in the formation, and another goose takes the lead. So that's really interesting. And it said, the goose honked to encourage those up front. So when we honk, make sure it's an encouraging honk. Or when a goose gets sick or wounded or shot down, other geese drop down out of the formation, follow it down to the ground to help it and protect it so that it can come back. You know, I think God is really in this. I was surprised how much he is in this, but he is really cheering this concept on. And it was just, funny and interesting in a way, because you can't make geese do anything. But I remember one time Pastor Tom and Daryl and I were up in his office. We were praying, and we had the window open, and somebody prayed something, and like all of a sudden a goose honked in response. It's like, where did that come from? Or somebody else at this church, it was like a few days after we talked about this thing of the geese. He has a very small backyard, and he said an entire flock of geese came and landed in his backyard. And maybe a week or two afterwards came Rosh Hashanah, and Chad was out, and every Rosh Hashanah, he blows his shofar. So he blew his shofar, and a goose answered. And the funniest thing was, like, 2 days after that church service, Glenn was at his house, and he hears this tapping on his basement window, and he goes down, and this goose had somehow gotten stuck in his window well. Yeah. So I think God is tapping on our windows, trying to get our attention. In thinking about this, though, what I've realized that if you kind of portray everything we do as on this V, little points on this V, which is interesting because our church council kind of takes the heads of the ministry and forms the church council out of it. So I love how that works. But if you look at this thing with all the points on this V, I've come to realize that actually every point on the V is its own little V. So it can, like, kind of rotate leaders or support one another. So it's kind of like with teaching our kids. When Kat had a baby, Allison and Bethany kind of came up to the front and took over for a while. So it was kind of that rotation going on. So I don't know that anybody actually realizes that this sort of picture is going on, but it is. But it comes so naturally here. It's really interesting. Now, some of these little V's just show up for a very specific amount of time. So it always fascinates me, like with royal family kids. It's like you can see, like, all of a sudden the flock comes together and starts flying, and everybody kind of has their thing to do on the V. We have the leaders of it, Katrine and Joelle. But you have other people on it too. You have the counselors, you have the grandfather figure teaching them to fish, and all kinds of things like that going on. And then after it's over, it's like it's gone until next year. And we have all kinds of things like that going on. We have a trunk or treat. All of a sudden it forms. There are places to fit into. One thing about this structure is that it's very, very easy to get involved if you've never gotten involved before. So it's like when trunk or treat came, Kelsey knew exactly where to send people according to their giftings. And it was just interesting walking around to seeing how it was all working together. So it's second nature for everybody here. But today, I'm really going to look at one point on the V, which is the very front of the V, which is the leadership, the pastoral position, the thing that Pastor Tom has been doing. Because as you know, we're coming to a transition point. And what we're proposing, because there's been a point on the V, Pastor Tom, is that instead of a point, it becomes a little V of its own. So in other words, we have like a team, and this team, it can rotate. Tom has said that actually it's been working that way in the past because there's always people that kind of come up next to him supporting what he's doing, bringing ideas, and so forth. But we haven't really made that an official thing, but what we're going to do now is really recognize what's going on and kind of establish that, because we were just feeling that now's the time to do that. So doing this for the leadership of the church will come very naturally, because even if we're on one of these other little V's, we see the benefits, no matter what's going on, of having a team. So here are some characteristics of this pastoral team that we've been thinking about. Now, one would be the point person, but it would be more like a first among equals. So in other words, the team would be kind of like Knights of the Round Table, which I have to bring about because I live in Lake Camelot. But like in Ephesians 4:11, the team would also be a collection of diverse strengths and gifts, which I just absolutely love. So what are the leaders in this leadership team called? Because Scripture refers to them as elders, but as Daryl pointed out, they actually have various names in Scripture. So for us to just use the word elder, it actually has different connotations in this day and age. And so what is it that Paul was really talking about? So Daryl brought up that there are actually three words, and actually in a very few verses, talking about them. One is elders, one is overseers, and the third is shepherds. So I'm just going to give a little bit of a description of each one. So elders, it made me have the picture of this little guy on the playground being bullied. And as he was being bullied, his elder brother shows up, and these kids that were bullying him looks up and sees the elder brother there and just run away. So it reminded me of Matthew 9:36, and it says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Isn't that interesting? Or if that little guy goes home and he's trying to do his homework and he can't get used to the new math that they're teaching, the elder brother can come up and say, "Hey, I went through that a couple years ago and I kind of know it," and he can kind of show his little brother the way. So in the same sort of way, there's this role of teaching and wisdom that comes in for elder. Then there's overseers. So again, if you go back to the big V, it's like the overseers are asking the people on this big V, like, "Hey, do you need any help? We're just cheering you on because you guys are amazing doing these things." Or maybe they're praying like, "Well, I wonder if other little V's are needed. You know, that we have a university over here. A lot of people are making life decisions. You know, maybe we need a little V to start ministering to them." And then there are shepherds. Shepherds are the same thing as Latin as pastors. Pastor is just a Latinized version of the word shepherd. And like Pastor Tom was saying a couple weeks ago, we're all called to shepherd, to take care of each other like family members. And adding more people to the pastoral team is just going to enhance this even more. And when it comes to this thing, like I was talking about, of every ministry also has the call to equip the saints to in their particular gift, there's more people to equip everybody to become a better shepherd. Now, today it just seems that when you use the word elder, just different connotations come up because we all have different experiences of what they're like. And I'm not sure that they actually meet, at least many of them, what Paul was talking about. So in my experience, when you talk about elder, it was like this team of advisors surrounding a senior pastor. But that's pretty good. That's not bad, not a bad thing to do. In fact, all the models, what we're talking about, Jesus speaking to us, we're not saying that any other model of leadership in the church out there is bad. They're all good. We love them all. But what he's speaking to us is like, look to see what Paul is really talking about. Because if it was like, if what Paul was talking about was this team of advisors to a senior pastor, he would have said afterwards that after you appoint elders, okay, now go out and appoint pastors. But he never said that because the elders he were talking about were the pastors. So I think a better term for this in today's language, other than just elder by itself, would be pastor/elder. And it gives everybody a better sense that they're being taken care of. And also this diversity in the team members shows that each has specialties, which helps everybody even more. So here's another question. What does this team of leaders do? So going back to Acts 6, 3 and 4, Peter is saying, brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So I don't know about you, but it seems like that fits really well with Bradley Epworth's motto of being Bible-based, Jesus-centered, and Spirit-filled. So, the next question is, what is the leadership team like? So we've seen the requirements for them in 1 Timothy, but I go even further in that for Bradley Epworth itself, because there's something that Tom has brought to this church that is unique and special and just needs to remain. And it's his heart. And the heart is the heart of a shepherd. He's an encourager, a cheerleader. We've all heard his name's echoing down the hall as he yells out our name, which is really cool. It's a servant's heart. There's this caring demeanor that's in this place. It's a heart that's full of openness, integrity, and humility, and truly valuing people. And in doing so, it's become all of us here at Bradley Epworth. It's like it's in the walls. It's here everywhere we see. And so the leadership team will need to reflect that. But there's also, in Pastor Tom and here at Bradley Epworth, a heart that's full of faith and ready for adventure, willing to do anything, even what looks impossible. And it's not only being open to doing these things, but pursuing them. And there's a real difference. And when leaders pursue things, they impart inspiration for others, because others then will want to pursue things as well. So an example in Scripture, David, He was mighty, and he did all kinds of exploits, but that inspired his mighty men to do exploits on their own. And so just the effectiveness of his army grew by leaps and bounds because of that. Another person that I want to focus in on, because this story is an amazing representation of what I'm talking about, is his friend Jonathan. And Jonathan, as you recall, was Saul's son. But unfortunately, he didn't receive a lot of encouragement from his own father, Saul, because he was just very insecure. And being so insecure, he wouldn't encourage, cheer somebody else on. In fact, when David started doing exploits of his own, Saul got so jealous that he tried to kill him. So it takes a secure leader to cheer people on. And that's one thing that we want. But I want to look at 1 Samuel 14 for a little bit to see a perfect example of how pursuing exploits will encourage people to do them too. So 1 Samuel 14 is a story about Jonathan and his armor guard. And the background of the story is that the Philistines were attacking Israel, and they were just everywhere. And the king, Saul, he went out to fight them, but the task was so daunting, he was basically in a place in a camp and not doing anything because he couldn't figure out what to do. And all the people of Israel were discouraged. So the lesson for us in it, before I get into the story, is that we will be stepping out, but probably not to fight an army like the Philistines. It may be to just step out into a ministry to help people that are inflicted in some way. And when we do that, it'll just inspire them. You know, maybe it'll be just volunteering to come and fix somebody's house that doesn't have the means to do it themselves. And as they do that and bless that person, it's an inspiration for others to do it. Or it might just be this demonstration of faith when faith is hard to be found. So any one of us may be the one to do an exploit, and as we do an exploit, that will encourage others to step out too. So let me get to 1 Samuel 14. So we're picking up where Jonathan and his armor bearer had wandered away from Saul's camp. They just said, something's got to change here. We don't know what it is, but let's get out of the camp and maybe God will tell us. So one day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, and I'll pick up in verse 6, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or few. So the Lord just put this courage in their heart to step out. They didn't know how, but they were willing to do it. And in verse 7, the armor bearer said, do all that you have in mind. Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. So they set out. They were facing these insurmountable odds. They had to climb a cliff in order to get to the enemy. And as they were climbing the cliff, the enemy was down there seeing them climb up. Which is not exactly a good warfare strategy, but they were doing that. And once they got to the top, the end result is that they routed the enemy. So in starting, picking up in verse 15, said, then panic struck the whole Philistine army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties. And the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. So if God needs to, he'll shake the ground for us, whatever we're going through. And I know that there are a number of people that are sick out there, and I just proclaim God is going to shake the ground that you're standing on in order to bring healing. But here's the interesting thing. It's starting in verse 20, how this one exploit done by Jonathan affected everybody else. Verse 20, then Saul and all his men, so the whole army of Israel now led by Saul, they assembled and went into battle. So that's the first inspiration. The rest of the army was inspired. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. And here's another one, verse 21. Those Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines and had gone up with them to their camp went over to the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. So here we have Hebrews that said, these Philistines are so great. I think the only way I can survive is to start dressing like them, acting like them, being part of the Philistines, and then maybe we'll be safe. Verse 22, when all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country, in caves or wherever they were hiding, heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So on that day, the Lord saved Israel, and the battle moved on beyond Beth Aven. So when we step out, we can inspire others to join the fight. So seeing Jonathan's exploit caused Saul to go into battle, people to leave their caves, and Philistine garb to be shed, which is pretty cool. So we need to be about exploits and also cheering others on in whatever exploit they happen to take up. So what I would say is this, that there are battles ahead for us. You know, it's not always going to be easy, you know, because the enemy doesn't like what we're doing. But we have each other to help us as we do it together, you know, to cheer us on and to shepherd us when we fall in the dust and need to get up again. And I think there's such a harvest coming that it's becoming more and more urgent, because many guests are going to be coming. And I think God is telling us, you know, be ready. And as we're doing it, God will show us the way. He's so faithful. As we just prayed, God, what are you doing here? He was so faithful just to start speaking to us what he's doing. And in Matthew 16, 18, again, he says, on this rock, I will build my church. So he'll give us the plan for a strong foundation, whether it's the V's of each of our ministries or the leadership V at the front. Our heart is, God, we won't go anywhere without your presence. You know, I'll follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And if we have that in our heart, we can't fail. So, courage. Well, we can't do any of this, you know, without the Holy Spirit. And so Pastor Tom and Daryl and Sue and Vicki and Mary, maybe come on up, and we're just going to all wait on the Lord, because it's he that's building his church, but he builds it through the Holy Spirit by touching each one of us. And who knows that they're going to be the person that has the part in this structure that fits perfectly into it, that's really needed so the rest of the structure can be built. So why don't we stand? Yeah. Holy Spirit, yeah, we just feel you cheering us on, Lord. Yes. And we just ask that you would come on every person right now who is just an integral stone in this mighty wall, in this mighty foundation that the Lord himself is building. And that you just speak to everyone their value, because each one of us has a purpose. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Thank you, Jesus.
I feel like the Lord is saying right now to, for all of us to realize that you're part of a structure. You're part of something. You're not just, it's not like this V is flying by and you're observing it. You're in it. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like the Lord wants to establish in the room and in all of our hearts a level of commitment and a level of security. You are part of something that he's doing. You are part of something that he's building. I will build my church. You're part of that. There's a V that God has formed and you're in it. You're in a little V and you're in a big V and there's a head V that's getting, you know, is changing. But he wants us all to hang together and understand that you have a place, you have a home. You are part of something that God is building, and it's with all the other people in this room. We call ourselves Bradley Epworth. It's a historic name. It comes to us through other many reasons, but in the end, it's just a Jesus community that has a name and a location that God has planted you in.
Yes.
And he wants you to find your place and love that place. And just as Kelsey said at the very beginning, if you're missing, something's missing. And to understand that we are a Jesus community to represent him. And all the things that Randy was teaching about the V and about how we are, that this is us. It's us. Mm-hmm. It's us. This is all we've got is us. Mm-hmm. But with the Holy Spirit,
yes.
This is something unique that God wants to do on the earth. And to just own that, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, come and let us all feel. I'm going to walk around the room while I pray this. Lord, help us to feel that we are in unity with one another and we are part of what you're doing, and you have placed us here to complete the V. You have placed us here to take our place in the V. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, around this room, Holy Spirit over everyone who is here, even the youngest and newest one who's here, and those who have been here for a long time. God has placed us in a place for us to use our gifts. And as we use our gifts, there's something that takes place amongst us, and it is the whole measure of the fullness of God in our midst. That is what God wants to see. That is what God is doing, and he's releasing it in us. Holy Spirit, just bring us to a place of unity. Bring us to a place of understanding. Bring us to a place of purpose. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in our midst.
I sense there are some of you, you've had dreams in the past, and for whatever the reason was, that dream never came to fruition. It may have been that the church you were in wouldn't allow you to do something. It may have been that you've been wounded, that you may have suppressed it. In fact, as I'm speaking, you might have thought, there's nothing I have in the past that did that. But now as you're meditating on it, you're realizing, yeah, actually there was something. And so I believe the Lord is wanting to rekindle those things and to cause you to step back in and see if that dream is to be fulfilled in this church at this time. Because that's what we're saying, that those things that you have, that God has placed within you, that it's time for those to come forth to minister to this church and to be used as part of the ministry. So Jesus, I just ask you to stir the hearts of everyone here who maybe did have some goal that they thought that you were putting into their heart, but for whatever reason, that never happened. It never came to fruition. Lord, I ask that you would resurrect that this would be a resurrection of dreams and ministry that you have called forth, Lord. Let that happen. We want everyone to be fulfilling the call that you have on their lives in Jesus' name.
Daryl just touched on this, but I saw the wounded goose. And as he said, the body of Christ coming to help. And I felt like the Lord said, I want to heal you. I want to heal you, and I'm going to use the church to heal you. And then I actually saw the Lord pick up the goose and lift its wings. He lifted its wings. And he held it up, And he said, you will be healed and you will fly again. You will fly again.
And you know, this would be a journey that goes back even during the COVID times, but I started seeing license plates that were saying BE, and that would just have different numbers. And I, you know, you'd pray for BE. I would just, it was so, there were multiple times, I mean, dozens of times, you guys, I was seeing it at different intervals. Well, about three or four, well, probably 2 months ago, I saw one that said BE and then EPIC, epic. And I thought, oh, that's huge, that's big, you know. Well, just in the last couple weeks, I just saw one, and it said BE kind, K-I-N-D, six. And which is mankind's number. And when you were just saying to be able to lift that person out of maybe their despairing moments or times where they have actually lingered in that despair, to be lifted up, to be lifted out, and to be encouraged one by another, I just thought, yeah, be kind. You know, sometimes it's just as simple as that. Being kind to someone can make someone think, oh, that was nice. That was kind. You know, and you might not even think you're doing it, but you're actually operating in a gift of kindness.
Mm. Yeah. That's good.
So let's let worship come over us as we consider all of these things. And let's just, come on up. We'll have the prayer ministry team come up at this point in time. Come on up, and if anyone wants to receive prayer, if you feel like you are someone who has lost a dream, and you would like to ask people to pray with you to release that dream again, a pursuit. Maybe someone's got a pursuit in their mind that they're pursuing something for God, and you're feeling the encouragement to do that today. The wounded goose, who, you know, if there's anyone who has wounds or hurts from church, from leadership, from other Christians, I want you to come up today as well. And in addition to all of that, just if you'd like a touch of the Holy Spirit to help you feel, you know, that sense of belonging and a place and a purpose within the body of what Jesus is doing. So let's go ahead and worship over us. Glenn, if you want to just receive that worship, or if you want to come forward, we invite you to do that at this point.